بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 24th of March in the year 2018 الحمد لله we moved on to the third night that we're going through the blessed life of the noble companion Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn Harb رضي الله عنه. And I'm on the stage where I'm mentioning his early life with our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last report I mentioned was the one in which our beloved Messenger recited sallallahu alayhi wa sallam verses of the Quran to him. And after leaving their presence, Hind radiyallahu anha said, "Did you make my son dismount for that magician?" And Abu Sufyan very interestingly replied, "I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is neither a magician, nor is he a liar." So this shows there was a change obviously taking place in his blessed heart, radiyallahu. Indeed, on various occasions, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu, would rebuke those who would speak ill of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For instance, in Ibn Abi Hatim, in his tafsir, As-Sudi rahmatullah alayhi relates, "Once was the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed by Abu Jahl and Abu Sufyan radiyallahu whilst they were conversing. Upon seeing him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Jahl burst into laughter, saying to Abu Sufyan radiyallahu, 'This is the prophet of Abd Manaf sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.' Upon hearing these words, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu who was angered, and he responded, 'Do you find it strange and something superior that there comes from amongst Abd Manaf, a prophet?'" Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overheard the words of Abu Jahl and he thus retraced his steps. He thereupon addressed him in such a way which cast fear into his heart. And he said, "I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I believe that you will never stop until you have befallen with what had befallen those who broke their promise." Upon this, the following holy verse was revealed in Surah Al-Anbiya, alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 21, verse 36. A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. وَإِذَا رَآكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوًا أَهَذَا الَّذِي يَذْكُرُوا آلِهَاتَكُمْ وَهُمْ بِذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And when the unbelievers see you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they treat you not except with ridicule. "Is this," they say, "the one who talks incidentally about your gods?" Whilst they blaspheme at the mention of the supremely merciful. Subhanallah. So let's look at this blessed report. So it's recorded by Hafiz ibn Abi Hatim in his tafsir of the glorious Quran. So simply put, Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu and Abu Jahl, they were sitting and they were talking. When the Holy Prophet passes by, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Jahl, he burst into laughter. And his words were, "This is the prophet of Abd Manaf." So now, this shows that he made it into a tribal thing, Abu Jahl. He goes, "Look, here's the prophet of Abd Manaf." Now, why did he mention that? Because Abu Sufyan was also the son of Abd Manaf. Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu, the son of Harb, the son of Umayyah, the son of Abd Shams, the son of Abd Manaf. Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abdullah, radiyallahu, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, son of Abd Manaf. So Abu Jahl, it was a double kind of a slap. He insulted the Prophet, and at the same time, he had a go at Abu Sufyan, who was next to him, radiyallahu. So now, Abu Sufyan, look how interesting. Whose side did he take? He got angry, and he turned to Abu Jahl. And he said, "Do you find it something strange, something superior that comes from amongst Abd Manaf, a prophet?" In other words, what wrong is there in this? Then look how interesting. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just walked a few steps past them. He retraces his steps. He only addresses Abu Jahl. Look how interesting. Ignores Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu. And he basically threatened him. because I believe that you are doomed. The promise is coming. Then Allah the Almighty and Glorious Himself, He revealed a verse. And in the verse, He mentions two things. When the unbelievers see you, they treat you not except with ridicule, like He just did. Is this the one who talks insolently about your gods? But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whilst they blaspheme at the mention of the Supremely Merciful. So here Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, look how strange the unbelievers are. First, they treat the Prophet with ridicule, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they say he's insulting our gods. But then Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, but they blaspheme me. So note verses of the Quran, so many revealed condemning Abu Jahl. So now there's a possible argument here. One could argue that Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu was angered for Abu Jahl had insulted his great-grandfather, Abu Manaf. But note, the holy verse specifically addressed those who took our beloved messenger as worthy of being mocked. So how could he be referring to Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu? Something of which Abu Sufyan was clearly innocent of. In addition to the obvious fact that our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned only to rebuke Abu Jahl and not Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. So some people queried this because maybe Abu Sufyan got upset because he was also thinking about his great-grandfather. And the answer is no. Because number one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came back, he only talked to Abu Jahl. He didn't talk to Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. And also note, the holy verse was talking about those who mocked the Prophet. And Abu Sufyan was clearly not in this category radiyallahu anhu. So note how interesting. He's not a Muslim, and yet it looks like he's defending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On another occasion, Shaykh Ali ibn Burhan al-Din al-Halabi, who passed away 1634 Christian era, in his Seerah al-Halabiyya, fi Seerah al-Amin al-Ma'amun. Mawlana Muhammad Owais Saroor, who is a graduate and teacher of Jamia Ashrafi University, Lahore, Pakistan, in his 100 Stories of Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu anha, page 39 of the English translation, he cites further references. So this narration is recorded in the famous work of Seerah, called Seerah al-Halabiyya. Well known to the ulama, and also the ulama have taken it from there. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he relates, once during the early years of the prophethood, Abu Jahl had slapped Sayyida Fatima for some matter radiyallahu anhu. So Fatima radiyallahu anhu was just a child at the time. Whatever reason, Abu Jahl slapped her. Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anhu, who was just a child at that time, thereupon came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with tears streaming down her cheeks and informed him of the incident. The Messenger of Allah thereupon said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my beloved daughter radiyallahu anhu, go and now inform Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu and inform him of this action of Abu Jahl. So stop in the report. So Abu Jahl slaps Fatima. We don't know what reason was. She goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, look how interesting, tells his own daughter, go to Abu Sufyan, tell him what Abu Jahl did. Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anhu thus went to Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu and related the entire incident to him. Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu then took the hand of Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anhu and went to where Abu Jahl was sitting. He thereupon said to Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anhu, now slap him in the same manner that he slapped you. I am here if he attempts to harm you in any way. Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anha thereupon approached and slapped Abu Jahl. She thereupon returned to her father sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed him of what had transpired. The Holy Prophet thereupon showed signs of joy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he made the following dua. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not forget this deed of Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anha. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not forget this deed of Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. Thus indeed it was because of this supplication of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu was ultimately blessed with the honor of embracing Islam after the conquest of Makkah, said Ibn Abbas radiyallahu. So let's look at this very interesting report. So Abu Jahl, why is he slapping Fatima radiyallahu? He had no shame. He slapped Abu Bakr's daughter radiyallahu when the Prophet had migrated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Abu Bakr. Abu Jahl went to the house of Abu Bakr and Asma came out, his eldest daughter. He said, "Where's your father?" So she said, "I don't know." And Abu Jahl slapped her and he broke one of her earrings. So he was a, you know, you say Beisharam. So Abu Jahl had basically, he had no morals. That's why his name was changed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abu Jahl. His name was Abu al-Hakam, the servant of the wise. So the Prophet goes, "No, the servant of the Jahl." Oh, sorry, the father of the Jahl. So when he slapped Fatima, this is, you know, even today, you know, would a fully grown man slap a child? So look how interesting. The Prophet himself could have took his daughter and talked to Abu Jahl. Why did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to Fatima, "Go to Abu Sufyan"? Look how interesting. So that's teaching you that the Prophet had knowledge of Abu Sufyan. They had a good relationship, and he goes, he will, and in other words, he's older, he's an uncle, go to him. And Abu Sufyan, when Fatima told him, he didn't even ask what was the background, why did he do it. He just took her, and all he said, imagine, maybe around the Kaaba Sharif, he goes, "Slap him like he slapped you." And nobody said a word. Imagine, Fatima slapped him. And then the Prophet made that dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Oh my Lord, do not forget this deed of Abu Sufyan." And the narrator of the hadith, Abdullah ibn Abbas, said it was because of this dua that Allah Ta'ala blessed him with the belief, the iman. Note our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's trust in Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu, knowing that he would deal with this sensitive matter, which he faithfully accomplished. And then our beloved messenger's priceless supplication to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah. It would thus be fair to say that in time, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu had begun to realize in the core of his blessed heart that the message of our beloved messenger was true, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, due to his position and authority amongst the Quraysh, he remained adamant upon his unbelief for a long period of time. So basically, this is the problem with many people. They've got so-called authority, a position, and they see Islam is true. There's many people like this. But they refuse to relinquish their position. There's many examples. We'll come to a few when we're going through Abu Sufyan's life as well. He was one of them. Nevertheless, during this period, one could see quite clearly that a gradual change was certainly taking place in this blessed man's heart. There's another incident showing how he was affected by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is recorded by Bayhaqi, Hakim in his Mustadrak, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 152-3 of the English translation. Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 6, page 26-7 of the English translation. Ibn Kathir's Seerah, volume 1, page 36-7 of the English translation. Imam Zuhri, rahmatullah alayhi, relates. Abu Jahl ibn Hisham, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, radiyallahu, and Al-Akhnas ibn Shariq once came at night secretly to listen to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst reciting the Quran. And each took his seat to listen, and none of them perceived the arrival of the others. They faithfully kept listening to the Quran until morning. Stop in the report. So three chiefs, each thought they were going by themselves, middle of the night, under the cover of darkness. They knew the Prophet would recite the Quran. And at a safe distance where nobody they thought was watching them, they listened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who are the three? Abu Jahl is one of them, imagine. Abu Jahl, the other is Al-Akhnas ibn Shariq, and the other is Abu Sufyan radiyallahu. When the light of morning appeared, they left. But they bumped into each other on the way. They thereupon embarrassingly said to each other, "Why did you come?" They then mentioned the reason and thereupon agreed that they would not return again, for the fear that the young men of the Quraysh, unknowing, might then be put into trial. So look how strange. They came to listen to the Quran. As a kind of smokescreen, they said, look, we shouldn't come again because the young men might be put into fitna. Well, hang on a minute, you're okay. So this shows that, you know, they were trying to brush it aside, but really it was affecting them. However, when the following night arrived, each of them returned back to his seat and kept listening the whole night. So think about that. So they're listening for hours and the Prophet's reciting the Quran. Maybe he's offering tahajjud, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the light of dawn appeared, they dispersed. But subhanallah, they met again. They rebuked each other again. And he goes, look, we must not return. Subhanallah, the same thing happened the following night. So for 3 nights, they came voluntarily. The Quran hypnotized them. They came and bumped into each other and they rebuked each other. Later on during the morning, one of the three, Al-Akhnas ibn Shariq, he took his staff and he went to visit Sayyidina Abu Sufyan in his dwelling, radiyallahu. When he arrived, he asked, O Abu Hanzala, because his eldest son was Hanzala, Abu Sufyan, O Abu Hanzala, inform me, what is your opinion of what you have heard from Muhammad the last 3 nights? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now one of the three wants to know. He goes, look, we know we're trying to fool ourselves. But you tell me, you heard the Quran last 3 nights. What's your opinion? So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu replied, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Abu Ta'alaba, I listen to things whose significance I know and I learn. I also listen to other things which I don't understand, nor do I learn their significance. Al-Akhnas replied, the same is with myself, by him who, by whom you took oath. So Abu Sufyan was truthful, because the Quran affected me. Some things I completely understand. Other verses, I did not understand the verses. And Akhnas said, I'm the same. Then Al-Akhnas ibn Shariq left and he went to Abu Jahl and entered upon him. He asked the same question. He said, what is your opinion of what you heard from Muhammad the last 3 nights? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Jahl's answer is very interesting. He said, we disputed with Banu Abd Manaf over sovereignty and glory. When they provided food for strangers, we did the same. When they carried the blood money, we did the same. When they gave to the needy, we did the same. We kept doing this until when we and them knelt down and came to be as equals, just as two racehorses. Suddenly they thereupon said, there is a prophet amongst us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unto whom revelation comes from the heavens. Thus how would we be able to compete with this? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will thus never believe in him, nor will we have trust in him. Al-Akhnas looked at him in amazement. He arose and he left. So now what does this mean? Abu Jahl knew he's the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All he asked him was, tell me about the Quran. How did it affect you? Did he talk about the Quran? He didn't talk about the Quran. He talked about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't ask him about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was Abu Jahl saying? Now Abu Jahl was from Banu Makhzum. His forefather was not Abd Manaf. He goes further back. Their lineage goes further back than Abd Manaf. So he considered it a tribal thing. He goes, we are competing with Banu Abd Manaf, i.e. the Banu Hashim and the Banu Umayyah. And each and everything they did, we did the same. Meaning, we were up there with them. He goes, but suddenly, they've got a prophet now. And he goes, how can we compete with that? Let me ask you a question. Does it matter what tribe he's from? Imagine. If somebody goes, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is Bani Israel, does it concern us? We still love and venerate him. We don't care which tribe he's from. Right? But this was the illness of Abu Jahl. He He knew the Prophet was truthful. In fact, he actually said to him once, I'm not calling you a liar, but I don't believe in your message. Meaning, thus was given honor to your tribe. You're the Prophet. So, subhanAllah, first of all, such is the magnetism of the divine revelation. Hence, it was nothing but sheer asabiyah, tribal loyalty, that was preventing the accursed from acknowledging the mission of our beloved messenger. So what's interesting? The Quran was in the language that they spoke and they grew up on. So obviously they have a far better understanding in terms of the language and the richness of the language. But look how amazing. They'll be sitting for hours. You know, we Muslims, we got Iman. Can we sit for hours listening to the Quran? So obviously we can use the argument, but they're listening to the Prophet. So yeah, you're right. He had the most beautiful voice, there's no doubt. But do you think they just listened to the voice? Nice tune. Right? They knew the language. So they were greatly affected by it. So note, the Quran has this magnetism and is proven in the seerah. Asabiyah is destructive. We've got it as well. Don't laugh at the Arabs. We've got these Qomiyats as well, you know it. Right? From our neck of the woods, you get all these names. Raji, you know what you call it, Misri, Gujar. What's all these names? So, and it's all about basically, our Qom is better than your Qom. Why? Because we're rulers, you're farmers. Sounds like Abu Jahl again. And Asabiyah, the Prophet said, it stinks. He used that word. He goes, leave it, it stinks. In another report in Abu Dawud, the Prophet said, if you go to help your brother simply because he's from your tribe, in other words, he's wrong, but he's from your tribe. He goes, your example is like a donkey's fell into the well and you're pulling it out by its tail. Look at how strange the example the Prophet gave. Donkey, first of all, how did a donkey fall into the well? And somebody goes, I know how to get it out. Grab hold of his tail and pull it. You're thinking everything about this is just ludicrous. And that's exactly what the Prophet said about Asabiyah. My nation, right or wrong, I will follow my nation. You know, these slogans that people come out with. And this is exactly what Abu Jahl had. Because my tribe, I don't give a damn, is the best tribe. I'm never going to believe in it. Pure Asabiyah. In addition, as is but obvious, the Umayyads were also competing with the Hashimites. And one would have thus expected Abu Sufyan radiallahu anh, to have made the same utterances as Abu Jahl Abuf. But did he? Look how interesting. Abu Sufyan was closely related to the Prophet. He was Umayyad, the second greatest tribe of the Quraysh. He didn't say it. He didn't say, well, I can't, you know, I'm Banu Umayyah. He didn't say it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with and continue to honor this noble soul. So note, all these incidents show very clearly that he had great love and veneration for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He believed in his heart. But because of his position and his status, he was reluctant to declare it. But these instances clearly show the importance. And the other thing which is very interesting, if you look at the Quran, the jinn listened to the Quran when the Prophet was coming back from Taif, and because we've heard a wonderful recital. Allah Ta'ala loved that so much, it's in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahqaf. If you look at Surah Al-Ahqaf, the very last few verses, Allah Ta'ala talks about the jinn. Why does Allah Ta'ala mention this incident in the Quran? The Mufassirin say Allah Ta'ala honors those who honor the Quran. He honors those who honor the Quran. They came and just listened to the Quran. The Prophet wasn't even aware they were observing him. And because they said, we've heard a wonderful recital, Allah Ta'ala put it in Quran. A group of jinn came to you and they said, we've heard a wonderful recital. They became believers. So the other lesson we can take from this is, honoring the Quran leads to honor. In Sahih Muslim, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Allah Ta'ala raises people with this book and he lowers people with this book. Note, he didn't say there's a plateau. You're either continuously going to be honored by the Quran or you're going to be disgraced. So either we honor the Quran and we're honored, or we neglect it and we become disgraced. So it doesn't take a brain surgeon to work out what condition we're in today's day and age. Astaghfirullah. There's another most informative report which has reached us in this regard. So this is a long report. I'm not going to go through all of it today. I'll just start. I'll give you the reference. So the narration is in Abu Nu'aym in his Dalail al-Nubu'ah, Ibn Kathir Sida, volume 1, page 225-7 of the English translation. He states, this account is excellent and fully illuminated with the light of truth. So according to Ibn Kathir, this is a sahih report. Abdullah ibn Abbas relates from his father, Abbas, radiyallahu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abbas, he relates, radiyallahu, I once went off in a caravan to Yemen to trade. Note how many of them were traders. In that party was also Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, radiyallahu. So note, sometimes Umayyah ibn Abu Salt, sometimes Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. When we were in Yemen, I used to prepare food one day and then go off with Abu Sufyan and others. Then the next day, Abu Sufyan radiyallahu would prepare the food and do the same as I had. So look how noble they were. Even though they were noble, they didn't make their servants do it. They considered it honorable to do it themselves. They would cook food. He goes, look, it's my day to look after you. The next day, Abbas would do it radiyallahu. Once when everyone had finished eating, the people left, but Abu Sufyan told me, please stay, O Abbas. When only I was with him, Abu Sufyan asked, radiyallahu, O Abu al-Fadl, radiyallahu, are you aware that your brother's son claims to be the messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know that your nephew said he's the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I replied tactfully, which one of my brother's sons? Which one of my nephews? Abu Sufyan, visibly irritated, he said, would you of all people try to evade me? Which of your brother's sons would it be, save that one? So Abu Sufyan, obviously he had a brilliant mind. He goes, come on, Abbas. He goes, you're trying to fool me. He goes, you know which one it is. It's that one. Abbas said, nevertheless, which one do you mean? So Abu Sufyan said in exasperation, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abdullah, radiyallahu. Abbas then asked, has he done that? Has he really said he's the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He replied, certainly, he's proclaimed. He then took a letter out from his pocket, from his son, Hanzala ibn Abu Sufyan. And the letter read, from his son, O father, this is to tell you that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up in an open space and he's proclaimed, I am the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I now summon you to Allah the Almighty and Glorious. So Abu Sufyan got a letter on the journey. Imagine, his son sent him an urgent letter. He goes, Muhammad's proclaimed to be a prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he showed the letter to Abbas. So Abbas, he replied, O Abu Hanzala, radiyallahu, between me and you, I think my nephew is telling the truth. So Abu Sufyan replied, easy, easy, O Abu Fadl, radiyallahu, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not like him proclaiming it, yet I don't fear any harm for us from his saying that, O son of Abdul Muttalib. So look how interesting. Abu Sufyan goes to Abbas. Take it easy, Abbas. Then he says, I don't mind if he's proclaimed, but it does concern me as well. So he's like basically treading a middle path. That news thereupon spread in all the assemblies of Yemen. So they reached Yemen. And imagine now, news is spread about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, just to wrap up, Abbas, radiyallahu, if you go through his life, he, according to the scholars, embraced Islam either in the earliest period or just before Makkah fell. So his Islam is baffling. So how can the scholars have a difference of opinion of 18 years? Some say he embraced Islam from the earliest days. He's Sabiqun al-Awwalun, Abbas. Others say no. He embraced Islam 18 years later, just before Makkah fell. Why do they say that? because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him a double agent role. He was a double agent. One of the report mentions that. Basically, you're a spy for this in Makkah. Keep your iman hidden. This report clearly suggests that. Look how he's hiding his iman. He goes to which one of my nephews? Abu Sufyan gets exasperated. He goes, are you trying to evade me? Is which one? And then he goes, I think he's telling the truth. And Abu Sufyan goes, hold your horses. He goes, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but at the same time, it's troubling me. When they reach Yemen, the news of the prophethood has spread. And inshallah, we will continue from there tomorrow. So all I mentioned today again was examples of where the great name of Abu Sufyan is mentioned in the earliest period of Nabuwwat. And note how informative the reports. And how you realize he was actually honoring our beloved messenger, protecting him, and not allowing anybody to speak ignorantly about it, including the accursed Abu Jahl. Are there any questions that ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله سبحان الله وبحمده بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله بشر الناس سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وعفوا الحق وعصوا الصبر صدق الله